Turning your Bibles to the book of Psalms, if you would, and the 105th Psalm. Psalm 105 reminds us that we need to remember. And one of the disciplines of the Christian life that is probably neglected is the discipline of remembering. As a matter of fact, probably if we were to make a list of what we would consider to be disciplines of the Christian life, these are things that you and I deliberately do and not randomly, but are consistently doing in our life, we would think of things like prayer, and we would think of things like Bible study, and we would think of such things like witnessing and fellowshipping with other believers, and all of those are important disciplines in our life, but probably the discipline of remembering may not make our list. As a matter of fact, we might forget to remember. We might forget all about the importance of remembering. Now, we understand that a little bit in society. This has sort of been a week of remembering for culture around us, and it's been a week of remembering for me personally in my own life. And we recognize that the importance of remembering. As a matter of fact, that's why most of us try to keep a calendar. And the reason why we keep a calendar is so that we remember what day it is and maybe what month it is. And on that calendar, whether it be on your phone or on your wall, you have reminders there. That is, maybe you have written down things that you need to do at certain times and on certain dates. Because if you didn't have it written on your calendar, you probably wouldn't remember. We don't only have calendars, we have celebrations to help us remember, don't we? And it may be a birthday celebration to help us remember the day that somebody was born. It might be an anniversary celebration to help us remember a certain event that took place, whether it be a wedding, a marriage, or another event that took place, just like we've experienced throughout our country in recent times. That is, we have celebrations. We have celebrations on our calendar, don't we? Set aside. We have days for just about everything, don't we? We have national holidays so that you and I will remember certain things that are important for our nation. So we have our calendars and we have our celebrations, we have our communication, don't we? That is that we've set into place in our society communication so that we can be reminded of certain events and certain things. You might have reminders on your communication device if you have certain ones that are able to remind you. Media reminds us of certain things. If you watch the news, you're reminded of certain events that are coming up. So we have communication, we have classes, don't we? And that is that many people are reminded, that is, we have built into classes that we have to take. Some of you have to take continuing education classes just to remind you what you need to learn as in the field of study or the field in which you work. And then we have cameras, don't we? And that is, we have cameras and we use our cameras to snap a picture so we can remember an event so that we have it right there before us, so we can go back and look at that picture. Some of you have pictures that were taken with the camera, and those pictures just remind you. They remind you of someone maybe who's gone. Maybe they remind you of an event that took place for some of you a long time ago, and you have a picture of it. And if you didn't have the picture, you probably would hardly remember. When you're looking through those pictures, then you remember. So we understand the importance of remembering. And those who've experienced loved ones who've had a disease that has affected their memory, you know well the importance of memory, of remembering. And the discipline of remembering is important to the Christian life. When I'm talking about the discipline of remembering, I'm talking about what the Bible would call meditation. That is, sitting down and deliberately thinking about certain things so that we remember them. Now, that's something today that I believe the enemy is trying to steal away from us, not only those of us who are children of God, but also our society in a broader context. And that is to try to numb our minds and to distract us from sitting down and meditating, actually sitting and thinking. Most people, when they're sitting down or when they're in a position of resting where they're not active, usually they have some kind of a device in front of them so as to keep them entertained, and we do very little meditating or actually thinking about things that we should be thinking about, remembering things that we already know. The idea of remembering is deliberately thinking about things that we already know, going over them in our minds. But instead, we live in a culture in which entertainment is king. And that is to keep our minds entertained, to keep our minds numbed to the reality around us and also to those things that are behind us that we need to be thinking about or we need to be remembering. We need to be meditating. That is thinking back over those things that we already know. Not only meditating, but also memorizing. The idea of remembering means that I'm memorizing. I'm thinking about for the purpose of remembering, memorizing what it is that I need to, what it is I need to remember. And that's important. It's important for us as God's people remembering. The psalmist in Psalm 105 reminds us of that importance. In verse number 5, and we'll look at the rest of the psalm in just a little while, but in verse number 5 is where we read the words, "Remember his marvelous works that he hath done, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth." In other words, remember what it is that God has done. Remember the miracles that he's performed. And remember the judgments of the truths that God has revealed with his mouth. That is the word that he has given us. The psalmist is just reminding us here of the importance of remembering. Psalm 105 is one of those historical psalms. It's a psalm that looks back in history to the covenant that God made with Abraham. And God's faithfulness to fulfill, and the psalmist is just reminding everybody of that. This is one of those psalms among a couple of others that was given, that was written and given by David and used as a part of the worship whenever the Ark of the Covenant was brought back to Jerusalem after David the king built, conquered and rebuilt the city of Jerusalem to be his capital. And he brought the tent, the tabernacle to the city of David. But finally, the Ark of the Covenant was brought to the tabernacle. And there was a huge celebration. You can read about it in 1 Chronicles 16. And in that celebration, David delivered to his musician Asaph, he delivered to him this psalm. And the first part of Psalm 105, the first 15 verses are used in that celebration. And it's used as a reminder, just to remind the people of God at this national celebration in the city of David, a time when the Ark of the Covenant is brought into the city for the first time. It's one of those psalms that just reminds them, hey, God's been faithful. God made a covenant. God built a nation, and God's been faithful to his covenant. And we need to remember that. Remember what God has done. And you and I need to remember as well. There's some things that you and I really, really, really need to remember. One of the things that we need to remember is we need to remember the works of God. That's what the psalmist tells us here in verse number 5. Remember his marvelous works that he hath done. Remember the works of God. And that's what this whole psalm is about. It's just remembering what God did. Remembering the covenant that God made and how he was faithful to the covenant that he made with Abraham. Look at verse number 7 of this psalm. It says, "He is the Lord our God. His judgments are in all the earth. He has remembered his covenant forever." That is the word which he commanded to a thousand generations. Which covenant he made with Abraham. That's the covenant that he's talking about. And his oath unto Isaac. He made a covenant with Abraham, and he renewed that covenant with Abraham's son Isaac, and he confirmed the same unto Jacob for a law. That is his grandson, Abraham's grandson Jacob, and into Israel for an everlasting covenant. Ladies and gentlemen, God made a covenant beginning with Abraham. Let me remind you of that. God met with Abraham. Abraham, out of Ur of the Chaldees, God said, "Go and I'm going to show you a land. I'll show you when you get there." And God made a covenant with him, the covenant according to Genesis chapter 12. The covenant that God made with Abraham included, ladies and gentlemen, the promise that God would make him a great nation and put him in the land that he was treading on, the land that he was walking on. That is the promised land and the land of Canaan. This is your land, and I'm going to make of you a great nation, and I'll bless everybody who blesses you and curse everybody who curses you. And out of you, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. And of course, that's looking forward to the coming of the Christ, the coming of the Messiah, who would come through the nation Israel and would be a blessing to all the nations of the world. God chose a man out of which God chose a nation, and God promised them that he would give them the land. The covenant that God made involved promises, and one of the promises was the land. Listen to what it says there in verse number 11. The Bible says, saying, unto thee will I give the land of Canaan, the lot of your inheritance, when they were but a few men in number, yea, very few, and strangers in it. That is, while Abraham and Sarah and Lot were wandering around in the land of Canaan, ladies and gentlemen, when there was just a handful of them, and then, of course, there came Isaac as well, and then Jacob and Esau. And listen, when there was just a few of them, just a small little family, smaller than many of your families, God said, I'm going to give you all of this land. God made a covenant with Abraham, and he promised him the land of Canaan. You know what David is saying in this psalm? It's important to remember that. And that is, that God made that promise when they were just a small family. It'd be like God taking you and your little family and showing you, ladies and gentlemen, the state of Kentucky, and say, I'm going to give it to you. God made a promise. Seemed impossible at the time, that this little family would one day be a great nation inhabiting that land. But here he is, David, on the day that he's bringing the Ark of the Covenant to the city of Jerusalem, and he's saying, we need to remember that about God. It's been hundreds of years since God made that covenant with Abraham. Ladies and gentlemen, it's been centuries since he made that covenant, and David is saying, don't forget. God made a covenant to include the promised land. He also reminds them of God's protecting hand. Notice with me in verse number 13 of this same chapter, when they went from one nation to another, and from one kingdom to another people, he suffered no man to do them wrong. Yea, he reproved kings for their sake, saying, touch not mine anointed, and do my prophets no harm. In other words, the psalmist is saying, listen, remember how God not only gave them the promised land, but God also gave them his protecting hand. He protected them, first of all, from the foreigners. That is, they were living in a land that was not theirs. They were living in foreign land, and there were those, ladies and gentlemen, who did not appreciate them being around, and yet God protected them. You might remember that whenever Abraham decided that he needed to go down into Egypt, that the Bible tells us that there was a Pharaoh down there that liked his wife, and Abraham said, she's my sister, and listen to me now, he took her. That is, it took Abraham's wife, and God brought a curse upon the Pharaoh and upon his household. And as a result of that, he said, you come and get this woman. I don't want to have anything to do with her. You know what God is doing? He is protecting Abraham and his wife, Sarai. Protecting them. God's got his hand on him. That is his hand of protection. Remember when Lot was taken captive? When there was a coalition of kings that came against Sodom and Gomorrah and other cities, and the Bible says that Lot was taken captive, and Abraham took his servants, and he went and defeated those kings, ladies and gentlemen, and brought Lot back and the people of Sodom, and gave tithes and offerings to the king of Salem. You might remember that story in your Bible. God protected Abraham. God's protecting hand was upon him, protecting them not only from the foreigners, but also from the famine. The Bible says in verse 16, moreover, he called for a famine upon the land. God did. God said there's going to be a famine upon the land. But do you know that before the famine ever got there, God protected Abraham and Isaac and Jacob? Do you know that God protected the sons of Jacob? That is, the ones who became the tribes of Israel. Absolutely, God protected them. Here's what he did. He sent a man before them, verse 17, even Joseph. You remember him, don't you? Who was sold for a servant. That is, before God ever sent the famine, he sent the man. And the man was just a young man. He was a young man named Joseph. And that is that he was one of the sons of Jacob. And the Bible tells us that he sold as a slave. You remember the story? His brothers despised him and hated him and rejected him and were jealous of him. And the Bible tells us that they saw him coming one day in his coat of many colors when they were out in the fields taking care of their father's stock. And the Bible says when they saw him coming, they plotted together a plan, and they decided they would get rid of Joseph and that they would kill him and be done with him. They hated him that much. There was a dry water pit nearby, and so the Bible tells us that they took him And they threw him into that pit. No doubt their intent was to leave him there and let him die. One of the older sons knew he was going to be held responsible. And so he decided that he would circle back around a little bit later when they were all gone and get him out. But while he was gone, the other brothers decided they'd make a little money off of Joseph. And they sold him to some slave traders that were coming through, sold him as a slave. And he was taken down into Egypt. And he became one of Potiphar's slaves, one of his servants. God blessed him. God had his hand on him, and God protected him all through that. And the Bible tells us that there came a time when he was falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, and the Bible says he got thrown into prison. And there he is now in the prison. There happened to be a butler and a baker down there that had some dreams, and Joseph was able to interpret their dreams. And finally, when one of them died, and one of them was restored to his position, and the Pharaoh had a dream, and the dreams troubled him. And all of a sudden, and after a little while, Joseph, who thought he was forgotten in prison, all of a sudden, the Bible tells us that he was remembered. This man down there in the prison that can interpret dreams, he was brought up, cleaned up, and brought before the Pharaoh and interpreted the dreams of Pharaoh that there's going to be 7 good years. And then there's going to be 7 years of famine, and you need to plan and put together a plan to store up in the good years to get ready for the famine, to get ready for the bad years. And we find that the Bible tells us that Pharaoh said, you know what, you're the man. I want you to do that. I'm going to put you in command, and you're going to be over everybody in my kingdom, but just under my authority. Now listen, God did that. Verse 17, he sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant, whose feet they hurt with fetters. He was laid in iron, talking about his imprisonment, until the time that his word came. The word of the Lord tried him. That is, when the Pharaoh had a dream. And Joseph was brought up, the king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. And he made him lord of his house and ruler of all of his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his senators wisdom, the Bible tells us. And Israel, that is Jacob himself and all of his family that had grown substantially, came into Egypt, and Jacob sojourned in the land of Ham. And you know what God did? God saved this family from the famine. Think about what God did, the extent to which God went through to save them from the famine that he had designed. Yet one of the sons sold as a slave, falsely imprisoned. Listen, for years lingering in slavery and in prison, probably no doubt at times wondering what in the world is going on, why is all of this happening, and yet there's a sovereign God who has his protecting hand upon this family, the family of the descendants of Abraham, Jacob and his sons, Abraham's grandson, because God made a promise, ladies and gentlemen, and the promise was, I'm going to make you a great nation, I'm going to give you this land. And listen to me now, God is going to fulfill his promise and covenant with Abraham, and he is protecting them. His protecting hand is upon them. The psalmist is recounting history, he's remembering. He's remembering this covenant that included the promised land, that included the protecting hand, that included the prosperous era. Look at what the Bible says in verse 24. That is, he remembers, he increased his people greatly and made them stronger than their enemies. That is, after Jacob and all of his family went down into Egypt, there Joseph is second in command, and he puts them into a prosperous land called Goshen. And the Bible says that they're there now for hundreds of years, about 400 years. The Israelites are there, the descendants of Abraham. And during that time, their family is growing. As a matter of fact, their family has grown into hundreds of thousands of people. And they not only have grown in number, but they've grown in strength. So much so that, ladies and gentlemen, the Egyptians get really concerned about them. That is, here they are, all of these Israelites living now in the land of Egypt. And we find that the Pharaohs, that is, hundreds of years later, became very concerned. They got to thinking about that, and that is, if an enemy came against us, if there was an enemy nation came against us that made a coalition with the Israelites, we not only would be attacked from the outside, but we'd be attacked from the inside. And they are strong, and they are powerful, and they are many. So we got to control this Israelite population. And so there came a time, ladies and gentlemen, that you move from the prosperous era to the persecuted servants. Verse 25, it says, he turned their heart That is the heart of the Egyptians to hate his people, to deal subtly with his servants. In other words, the Bible says that there came a time when the Egyptian became afraid and began to hate the Israelites, turned against them, and they began to persecute them. They began to enslave them. They tried to kill their children as they were born. It became a terrible scene in the land of Egypt. Now listen to me now. God is sovereignly overseeing all of this, isn't he? He sure is. He's getting them ready. Getting them ready for what I would call, and what we're reminded of here, is the powerful deliverance. The Bible says in verse number 26, he sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. God's getting ready to bring them out. The reason why that God has allowed the persecution to come against them is because God is going to deliver them. He's getting them ready for that deliverance. And listen, this deliverance means that God sent some people to them. The people that God sent, according to the verse I just read to you in verse 26, is Moses and Aaron. God sent this man Moses along with his brother Aaron, and he has sent them, ladies and gentlemen, from the wilderness of Midian down into Egypt where Moses once lived and where he was raised in Pharaoh's household, and listen, to deliver the people of God. God sent Moses. Some of you remember the story now, aren't you? You're getting a review of Israelite history. God, the people that God sent, there's the plagues that God sent. The Bible says in verse 27 that they showed his signs among them and wonders in the land of Ham. God sent this man named Moses, and Moses went to the Egyptian Pharaoh and said, you got to let these Israelites go. God said it's time for them to come out of Egypt. And of course, he wasn't going to let them go. He had made them his slaves. Didn't want to let them go. And so the Bible says that all of a sudden there were wonders or miracles or signs that are being shown. It's talking about the plagues that God sent on the land of Egypt. That is, by the hand of Moses. Moses announced the plagues and God performed them. And here they are, not necessarily in chronological order, but here they are. Verse number 28, the Bible says he sent darkness, the plague of darkness, and made it dark. And they rebelled not against his word. He turned their waters into blood and slew or killed their fish. Their land brought forth frogs in abundance. The plague of frogs. Now, I know a couple little boys that would probably have fun with that for a little while, but this was a whole, listen, this is way beyond that, isn't it? A plague of frogs. And then, of course, we know that the frogs were even in the chambers of the kings. They were everywhere, ladies and gentlemen. He spoke and there came divers of various sorts of flies and lice in all their coast. He gave them hail for rain, flaming fire in their land, the Bible says. He smote their vines and their fig trees and broke the trees of their coast. He spoke and the locusts came, the caterpillars and that without number, the Bible says. They ate up all the herbs in their land and devoured the fruit of their ground. Talking about all the plagues that Moses announced and God sent in the land of Egypt during that time. And then there was the final one described to us there. In verse number 36, he smote also all the firstborn in their land. The chief of all their strength, the firstborn, the land of Egypt. Firstborn sons, all of them are dead. They wake up one morning and all of their firstborn are gone. They're dead in their bed. The only ones that aren't are those Israelites. And the reason why is because of the fact that they have the blood of the lamb that's been shed. The blood that's been placed on the doorpost of their home. They're saved by the blood. That is, the Israelites are. He's just reminding them of that story that happened, ladies and gentlemen, hundreds of years before David brought the Ark of the Covenant. Reminding them of their history, this powerful deliverance, the people that God sent. That is, he sent to them Moses and Aaron, the plagues that God sent from the darkness to the death of the firstborn. And then there's all the provision that God sent when he brought them out, when he delivered them. That's right, there's the wealth and the health that he provided for them. Look at verse number 37. He brought them forth also with silver and gold. There's the wealth. Remember, they went and they borrowed from all their neighbors. And after they borrowed, then God brought them out with all of that wealth. And then he also provided them with health. The Bible says there was not one feeble person among their tribes when they came out, ladies and gentlemen. They all had the strength to be able to walk out of there and keep on walking and keep on going. Listen to me now, they didn't have to carry them around and pack them around. All of them were able to get out of there. That is, God blessed them with the health to be able to make that trip. They were blessed with wealth and health. They were blessed. God gave them opportunity and means. The Bible says in verse number 38, Egypt was glad when they departed, for the fear of them fell upon them. In other words, when they woke up that morning and saw the death of their firstborn, listen, all of them took a vote in Egypt. Now I'm exaggerating. They all took a vote, and it was 100% let those Israelites go. Even Pharaoh said, get out of here. You say, what happened? God began to move, and God gave them the opportunity and the means of leaving Egypt. God worked it out. He gave them not only the wealth and the health and the opportunity and the means, but he also gave them the cloud and the fire. Look at verse number 39. He spread a cloud for a covering and a fire to give light in the night. God protected them and led them by a cloud during the day and by a fire during the night that overshadowed them and guided them and protected them. He sure did. He not only gave them wealth and health, he not only gave them opportunity and means, he not only gave them a cloud and fire, but he gave them quail and manna. Verse number 40. The people asked, and he brought quails and satisfied them with the bread of heaven, that is the manna that came up on the ground. God provided what they needed to be able to eat. God also gave them rocks and rivers, didn't he? Look at verse number 41. He opened the rock and the water gushed out. You might remember that one. That is, there was no good water. And here they are, hundreds of thousands of them with their cattle. And the Bible says there was no good water. It's not going to be long that they're going to be in trouble. And they got to crying out. And Moses got to crying out. And God said, "Show, I'll show you a rock. Just speak to the rock." And water comes gushing out. Not only that, but they ran in dry places like a river. That is, God provided them not only the food to eat, but the water to drink. Some of the provision that God sent. He gave them joy and gladness. The Bible says in verse 42, "For he, that is God, remembered his holy promise." That is the promise he made to Abraham, ladies and gentlemen. Abraham, his servant. "And he brought forth his people with joy, and his chosen with gladness." Oh, they were celebrating on the other side of the Red Sea. Remember, Moses sang his song, and the people are celebrating joy and gladness. God brought his people out, delivered them with joy and gladness. He gave them land and labor. Look at verse 44. He gave them the lands of the heathen. The very land, ladies and gentlemen, that God said to Abraham, "I'm going to give you this land," hundreds of years before, he gave it to them. And the Bible says they inherited labor of the people. Not only gave them the land, but also the labor. That is, the people in that land had built houses and they lived in them. The people in that land built vineyards and they reaped them. He gave them the land and the labor. And I'll tell you, he gave them his statutes and his laws. Verse 45, that they might observe his statutes and keep his laws. Praise you, the Lord. In other words, God gave them all of his statutes and laws to govern them and guide them in the land where he put them. The law that God gave Moses was the law that he gave to govern this special people that God had called. Ladies and gentlemen, all this history is revealed in this psalm so that the descendants of Abraham, hundreds of years out now, so that they will remember. So that they will remember. Now, I'll tell you, it was important for them to do that. The reason why is laid out for us in this psalm. The reason why they needed to remember is so that they would be thankful to the Lord. The Bible says in verse number 1, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord." And then he lays out in this psalm what's the reason why they ought to give thanks. They ought to give thanks just on the basis of remembering the works of God. Just remember what God did. That is the reason why David is saying the reason why that we're here on this day in Jerusalem, in this city, dedicating this Ark of the Covenant, bringing it to this the tabernacle in this city is because God made a promise to Abraham and God kept that promise. And he's just reminding them of all the wonderful things that God did. so that you might give thanks. Some of you might be here and you're not feeling very thankful. I want to ask you to do something, and that is just stop and remember what God has done. And you'll be thankful. That is, when you and I fail to discipline ourselves to remember, we can become despondent, ungrateful. But when we remember what God has done, it helps us to be thankful to the Lord. Listen, not only that, but remembering helps us to call upon the Lord. The Bible says in verse number 1, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, call upon His name." Listen, when you and I, hey, whenever we begin to remember what God has done, all of a sudden you find yourself turning back to Him and crying out to Him in times of difficulty, in times of struggle, in times of uncertainty. When you just remember all the work that God has done in the past. All the wonderful things that God has done, all of a sudden now, you find yourself saying, you know what, if God can do what He did in the past, then God can help me today. And you begin to cry out to Him. You remember what He did in the past, remember what God brought you through, remember what God did, and you begin to cry out to God in your present circumstances. Give thanks to the Lord, thankful to God, and calling upon the Lord, and also revealing the Lord. The Bible says in verse number 1, it says, make known His deeds among the people. In other words, when you get to remembering what all God did, you get to talking about it, and you get to making it known and revealing it to others. Hey, there's folks around you that need to know what God has done. What God has done. Some of you have lost loved ones. Maybe they've been gone for a while. And maybe you do like I do sometimes when you think about those loved ones that are gone. Every once in a while I find myself saying to people around me, and some of you right here in this room, sometimes I find myself saying, you know what my dad would have said about that, don't you? And I'm not going to tell you what he said. You say, what are you doing? I'm just remembering him. Some of the things he said. In a moment, and then I'm just sharing it with somebody else. Now, if I do that with my dad, how much more should I be doing that about the things of God? That is, if I can just remember what God has done, then I can begin to tell other people, this is what God did. So that you and I not only remembering ourselves, but now we're reminding others as well. You see, the reason why it's important for us to remember is so that we'll thank the Lord. Not only that, but so that we'll call upon the Lord, and so that we'll reveal the Lord, and so that we'll worship the Lord. Worship Him. Verse number 2 says, sing to Him. Sing psalms unto Him. See, we worship through singing, don't we? Singing in this case is talking about the psalms. Singing the psalms, just like we have this psalm here that would have been sung. But also we have songs as well otherwise. And that is singing to the Lord. See, the reason why that you and I don't have a lot of worship in our heart is because we don't remember what God has done. Our worship is tied to our memory, isn't it? Remembering all that God has done motivates you and I to praise Him and thank Him for all the great and wonderful works of God. We praise Him, we worship Him by singing to Him, but also by speaking about Him. Talk ye of all His wondrous works in the last part of verse number 2. We not only sing to the Lord, but we also talk about Him. And when you and I are talking about the wondrous works of God, that is worship itself. Worship is not limited to singing. It also involves speaking. You and I speaking of the Lord. Amen. As a matter of fact, some of us do a better job speaking than we would singing. Yeah, just talk about Him. I mean, that's what singing is. It's just kind of put to music, isn't it? Just talking about Him, and that is by worship. That's what we do. We worship Him. Glorying, the Bible says in verse number 3, glory ye in His holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. The reason why we need to remember is so we can thank the Lord, and so that we can call upon the Lord, so we can reveal the Lord, so that we can worship the Lord, so that we can seek the Lord. Verse number 4, seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. Seeking after God. Searching for Him. Looking for Him. When you remember what God has done in the past, it helps you to realize that If Moses could seek him and find answers, if Moses sought after God and got him and God showed him a rock out of which water came. I mean, listen, if Moses and the Israelites can seek after God and God send him quail, then maybe you ought to seek God too. You see, remembering helps us to seek the Lord, ladies and gentlemen, and that's why he says in verse number 5, remember his marvelous works that he has done, his wonders, and the judgments of his mouth. You and I need to remember. We need to remember the works of God. Psalm 143:5, written in a time of great distress, says, I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. That is, the psalmist is saying in a very distressful time that I just had to stop and just start remembering the days of old. I started meditating on the works of God, the works of God's hands, all the things that God has done in the past. I just had to stop and remember. 1 Chronicles 16:12 says, remember his marvelous works that he has done, ladies and gentlemen, his wonders and the judgments of his mouth. Just remember what God has done. Remember what he did in the Bible. You and I have looked at some of the things that God did in the Bible when he brought the Israelites out of Egyptian bondage. But listen to me now, the Old Testament not only highlights the Exodus, but it also highlights the creation. Just remember what God did when God created the heavens and the earth. When God spoke, just spoke, and all of a sudden there's light. When God made the sun and the moon and the stars, remember that God made the animals and he made the fish of the sea and the birds of the air. And God took dust and he made a man and breathed into his nostrils and he became a living soul. Just remember what God did. Don't forget what God did. Listen to me now. If you don't remember what God did as revealed in the Bible, you'll get yourself in a real mess. The reason why that our society's in the mess that it's in today is because we've forgotten what God did as revealed in the Bible. Remember his creation. Remember the crucifixion. Jesus went to the cross and died on that cross for our sins, was raised the third day. You and I need to remember those things that are revealed, the wonderful works of God revealed in the Bible. Remembering the work of God, not only revealed in the Bible, remember the work of God in your own life. What God has done in your life. Remember when he saved you? Remember? Remember how lost you was? God came and dealt with your heart. The Holy Spirit began to reveal to you your lost, sinful condition. Remember when he brought you to the end of yourself as a sinner and you came to Christ? Remember when he brought you to that point that you stopped trying to do anything to save yourself and trusted in the work of Christ on the cross and God saved you and the Holy Spirit came to live on the inside of you? Remember the assurance? Remember the joy? Remember the peace that came to live on the inside? Remember when God saved you? Hey, you need to sit down and think about what God did in your life. Remember what God did when he saved you. Remember what God has been doing in your life as he's been transforming your life. Been growing you and transforming you. Remember when God gave you clear direction in your life and you were able to walk in the center of his will. Remember those times when God has spoken to you at just the right time, just when you were searching and seeking and you walked in, you heard a message or a Bible study or you opened your Bible and were studying, God spoke to you. Remember those times? Listen, I have some times in my life like that that I remember from time to time when God just spoke so clearly. Remember what God has done in the Bible. Remember what he did in your life. Remember what he's done in your family. Remember what God has done in your family. Those that he has saved, those that he has transformed, those he's operated in their lives. Remember what God has done in your family. Hey, we ought to stop and think about all the great things God's done right here in our church. The souls that God has saved, hundreds of people have been saved as a result of the ministry of this church through the 40 plus years that it's been here. God calling men into the ministry and former members that are serving in ministry. All of the lives that have been impacted. The Word of God that is broadcast all over this area and accessible around the world. God using our church. The wonderful work of God in the life of our church. It's important, ladies and gentlemen, to remember the works of God. It's important to remember the Word of God. That is what it is that God has said. So the Bible tells us here in Psalm 105 to remember the word of God that is the judgments of his mouth, those things that God has said. Remembering the word of God has highlighted for us the importance of it. For example, in Acts 20, verse 35, Paul said, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of our Lord Jesus. Remember what he said. It's more blessed to give than to receive. Remember what Jesus said. In Acts chapter number 11, Peter was meeting with some church leaders and he was recounting, remembering the conversion of the first Gentile named Cornelius. And in Acts chapter 11, verse 15, he said, as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them. That is Cornelius and his household, as on us at the beginning. Then he said, remembered I the word of the Lord. How that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Ghost. Peter said, I remembered the word of the Lord. When Paul was encouraging Timothy to teach the Ephesians, he encouraged Timothy to remind the Ephesians of the word of God in 1 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse number 6. Listen to this. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained. Timothy, here's what you need to do. Here's your ministry in Ephesus. Just remind them. Remind them of the word of God. Yeah, that really is the focus of most ministry in the local church, is just to keep reminding us of what God has said. Jude, the little book of Jude, reminded his readers of the Old Testament judgment of God. In Jude verse 5, listen to what it says. It says, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not. Those who wouldn't believe, he destroyed them in the wilderness, didn't he? And he also said, the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he's reserved in everlasting chains, under darkness, under the judgment of the great day, the judgment of God on fallen angels. He said, you already know this. I'm just reminding you that God judged the angels that sinned, that God judged the Israelites who wouldn't believe, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth as an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. In other words, Jude said, I know you already know about Sodom and Gomorrah, that God destroyed them, the judgment of God fell on them. He said, I just want to remind you of it. Ladies and gentlemen, we need reminders like that. Well, the Bible says in Psalm 119, verse 11, the Bible says, thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Paul wrote to the Colossians in Colossians 3:16, and he said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Let the word of God dwell in your hearts richly. That is the idea, is your life overflowing with the word of God, just being reminded of God's truth by singing and by admonishing one another through psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. All of those things are reminders. The reason why we sing songs, listen to me now, is just to remind us of what God has said. The reason why that we have teaching is to remind us of what God has said. The reason why we have preaching services, so I can remind you of what you've already studied, what you've already heard. Remind us of the word of God. We need to remember the works of God. We need to remember the word of God. Hey, we need to remember the warnings of God. In Luke chapter number 17, the Lord was speaking about the end times. Luke chapter number 17, the Bible says in verse number 28, likewise also as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. He's reminding of us what it's going to be like in the last days. People are going to be living life as usual. They're going to be eating, they're going to be drinking, they're going to be selling and planning. They're going to be building. It's going to be life as usual. And then all of a sudden, the Bible says, fire and brimstone rained down on Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop, his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him not likewise turn back. In other words, this is going to happen suddenly. There's not going to be any turning back. There's not going to be any packing up. This is going to happen suddenly and unexpectedly. And then he says this in verse 32, remember Lot's wife. You don't forget about that. Remember her? She's the one that turned back. She's the one that looked back. And the Bible says that she became a pillar of salt. The judgment of God came upon her. And she became a pillar of salt. Lot's wife stands out, ladies and gentlemen, as a warning to those who love the world and the things of the world. We need to remember the warnings of God. Hey, we need to remember the warriors of God. You say, what do you mean? Those who have faithfully served. We spent a whole weekend, haven't we, so far, just remembering the warriors of our nation. But the Bible tells us we need to remember the warriors of God. Paul remembered the faithful warriors in the churches. Here's what we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. He said, we give thanks always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and your patience of hope in the Lord Jesus. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, he said, I remember you all. I'll never forget you. Never forget your work. Never forget your love. Never forget your hope, your endurance. Paul remembered the warriors, faithful warriors in the church. Paul wanted the believers to remember him. In Colossians 4:18, he said to these believers in Colossae, remember my bonds. The apostles remembered our Lord, the greatest warrior of all. In Hebrews 11, we're encouraged to remember the Old Testament people of God who operated by faith. Remember Hebrews 11? That chapter begins with Abel and, ladies and gentlemen, goes all the way through the Old Testament prophets of God, reminds us of the Old Testament characters who walked by faith and lived by faith, the great Old Testament people of God. We're just reminded of them so that we never forget. In Hebrews 12, we're encouraged to remember our Lord, the greatest warrior of them all, who fought the greatest battle and won the greatest victory. Listen to what it says. Let me remind you. The Bible says that you and I need to be looking into Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Endured the cross, despised the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him, or remember him, that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. You need to remember him. The battle that he fought, the victory that he won. Listen to me now, as you journey through this life, you got to remember. We need to remember him. The Bible tells us we need to even remember our current spiritual leaders. In Hebrews 13, verse 7, remember them which have the rule over you, who've spoken to you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end, that is the outcome of their conversation or their manner of life. Remember them. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to say to you that you and I need to remember. To remember. Remembering all the works of God. Remembering the word of God. You and I need to remember the warnings of God. We need to remember the warriors of God. Those who've been in the battle, those who fought the battle, both in the past and those who are fighting the battle in this present day. We need to remember. Hey, don't forget to remember. Let's pray. Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit would operate in our hearts. You work a work in our lives. Lord, we need your help and your direction, your leadership. Father, I pray for those who are here that haven't thought about you in a while, haven't thought about your word, haven't thought about all the things you've done. There are some who have attitudes, Father, that reflect that fact that they have not taken time to meditate, haven't taken time to think about it, and to remember. Would you help us, Father, to implement that kind of discipline in our lives? So that we can become the people of God you've saved us to be. Lord, I pray for those who've never come to Christ, that God, you would remind them of their lostness. God, I pray that you remind them of your judgment, God, I pray that you remind them of who you are, what you've done. Draw them to yourself and save them for your glory. God, would you take your children, remind them of when you saved them, remind them of what you've done for them. Father, help them to remember for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand together. In just a moment, we'll start singing.